Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to once again welcome everyone into the Clay County Corner here from the historical courthouse right at 100 Courthouse Square here in Salina, coming to you live and in living color as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock through the auspices of the Clay County Chamber and the Three Star Committee and all the great sponsors that help sponsor this show and make it possible each Thursday morning where we can come into your wherever you're at, out driving around. I know we've got quite a few folks, like the guys that drive the line trucks for the phone company and the electric folks. They listen to us while they're out trucking this morning. And sometimes when they're out on an emergency call, I've had a couple say that's pretty good company when they're going out on the 6 o'clock call at night. But we appreciate all the folks that listen, and we hope that everyone will listen to all of our ads here and realize that not everything you can buy in the big city box stores is here, but a whole lot of it is. So, you know, come on downtown and spend, or come to the county here and spend some of your money at one of the businesses here we have in Clay County. I think we've got a big long list. Kevin might he probably don't know either how many we've got listed that are actually businesses here in Clay County, but there's a great big page of them all over the county. A lot of them that I guess if you're not living close to that neighborhood don't even know exist.
Well, Thomas, if you count the sole proprietor type businesses, there's, last count I knew, and that, you know, it's a little bit old, 150 or so local businesses in Clay County. That may be one person, you know, but that's several dozen.
Oh, we'd have a great big old shopping center if we could draw all them into one spot, wouldn't we? Of course, I don't know where we'd put them, but that's quite a few. But like I said, I've got Thomas Weaver, Kevin Donaldson here with me this morning. And of course, one of the main topics, the main topic today, we're going to be talking about the Hall of Fame for Clay County athletes that's coming up. I guess that's about tomorrow night. That's right now upon us, weather permitting. And hopefully, it looks like maybe the roads are going to be clear then, and all the pretty white stuff may not hardly be gone. But we've had to cancel a couple of ball games, and we hadn't had any school at all this week. I think Miss Monroe said the other day, I saw her, and she said right now she's probably the most popular director of schools we've ever had here. She said at least for a few days, but everything will get back to what we're calling the new normal here, maybe one of these days. But with that, like I said, we'd like to welcome everyone in and remind everyone that I think we'll be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock after our normal broadcast here. And I've got, Thomas, how about our postings online? Are we getting all those on a regular basis?
I think the ones we receive are on
okay.
allofhorizon.com.
So you've got to reach up in the cloud and get them. Is that the way that works?
Or we do.
And those are there, and I think they're even they're dated where you know what you're listening to. And so we'd like, you know, of course, remind everyone, we've just got all kinds of ways to listen to all this great information you're fixing to get here today. And I guess with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll come back, and we'll get today's program started.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank & Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank & Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we get started, I have to remind everyone this is birthday and anniversary day, and we'll be reading our list of birthdays here in a few minutes, and we'll be giving away one of our gifts that's available over at the chamber when you go over by there, and they've got your name saying you're coming by to pick it up. So we remind you of that. We'll be doing that. I'm reading them about halfway through the show. And then we'll draw through our highly non-computerized selection system and choose someone to win that. Today I've got Kevin Donaldson and Thomas Weaver here with me this morning. And the main topic we were going to talk about is the Hall of Fame thing coming up over at Clay County High School. I have got two local newspapermen. One of them has been in the business for off and on. He was in it for... about 40 years probably ago.
40 plus.
And Thomas Weaver, who is the owner proprietor of the Dale Hall of Horizon. And to kind of talk a little bit about, newspapers, the impact they have, some of the problems with them. And I thought, golly, I've got these guys together here. This would be a good day to do a few minutes on that. If you would, guys, kind of just sit there and talk a little bit about the business that you are in and have been in.
Well, I always considered it, Thomas, I guess, a blessing to be able to go to Tennessee Tech and get a degree in journalism and come back home to my hometown and actually find work. I guarantee there's not many people that can say that with a town as small as ours was. But I was fortunate to start working for Thomas Weaver. I guess I have to identify y'all apart here. Can't just say Thomas. That might be confusing. With Thomas Weaver's uncle, Don Napier, started working for Don, I guess, when I was a sophomore in college. Yeah, that'd be about right, I think. Probably 78. So that dates it all. And then worked for Don part-time and worked for the student newspaper over there at the same time. And in 81, graduated and was able to come home and get a job. And it's a difficult job. I believe Thomas will agree with me on that, but it's a very rewarding job, too. The biggest thing that I guess I remember and appreciate about being in small-town newspaper, and it'd be the same whether it's big town, was being able to meet all the different people that you did. Most of it, I guess, concentrated around sports, which we'll be talking a lot about here in a few minutes, but I met people from all over the county and all over this part of Tennessee and some of our politicians, and in another job I would never been able to do that. Got to meet a lot of people that I've still got lasting friendships with too. So That's the best thing I think about being a small town newspaper man. I'll let Thomas reflect a little bit.
Kevin, when you were here, we had how many papers did we have in town then? We had just the two, or was there a?
There was, when I started working full time here. Excuse me. There was the Clay Citizen, which I worked for, and also the Clay Statesman. Now, a lot of our younger folks, I guess, probably don't even realize there were two newspapers at that time, but they were bought out by a third party and merged and became what we have today, the Citizen Statesman. And, of course, Thomas and his family came along later, and actually at that time when I helped them open that, and they got, and Thomas, is it 20 years or getting close to 20 years?
We're on volume 18.
Okay.
Way through, so almost two decades now.
Okay, and there was three then. There was a third newspaper, the Citizen Statesman, the Horizon, and the Volunteer News. We had three newspapers in a county of, 7,800 folks or whatever.
And I know the history of newspapers. We go all the way back with Bill Fisk's Bugle, which if you're not a history fan, you probably never heard of or didn't know about. Those newspapers are actually a lot. I think all of them maybe are in the state archives, going all the way back to tell the history of the Clay County. And of course, back in those days, they were newsy papers where the Joe Smith family visited with the Ray Jones family down on Arcot that Sunday, and they had cake and dried beans.
And a good time was had by all.
And a good time was had by all.
Yeah.
But now, Thomas is here now, and like I said, he is kind of in charge of that up there now. And some of the problems and things right now, Thomas, that the small town newspapers, I know we still have two newspapers, one locally owned and one that's owned by, I guess, a conglomerate that had really tried to, I guess, control the news business here in the Upper Cumberland by purchasing all the little small newspapers around us.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit what it's like for you now.
Well, in this age and time, everybody wants news and information immediately, which has gone, of course, to social media and online and via websites, et cetera. But there's still something about holding the print in your hands, in my opinion. And also there's some things you can't find online about small town local news. You're not going to find that on Facebook. You're not going to find a box score from last night's game or who scored how many points or a summary of that game. There's also some local government type coverage and promotion. That's a big thing that we try to do as a Del Hall Horizon is promote the positive. When we started the paper, like Kevin said, and like they did, we take pride in sports, of course. That's our background, and that's what we concentrate on. Just to give these local athletes some coverage. And that's one of the main reasons we started this paper almost 20 years ago. We felt like there was a void there, and we've expanded that coverage with our Horizon Sports Network coverage, which you're a part of, where we broadcast
right.
the local basketball games. So we've kind of had to change our business model a little bit to stay in business as print advertising has declined and things of that nature. But we're still plugging away at it. And that's what a lot of people probably don't realize is, they kind of take a newspaper maybe as a public service. Well, it's got to pay its way.
Okay.
It's a business too. So that's the major challenge is such a small community trying to have enough sponsorship, enough local advertising to keep a newspaper going. But one thing I want to jump back to, if I could, Thomas.
Okay.
Kevin talked about Uncle Don and owning the Citizen Statesman for quite some time. And, Don Nature and Kevin Dawson are the only reason I have an opportunity to do what I do. So I definitely want to thank them for setting the standard for local news coverage. And Uncle Don actually helped start the Del Hall Horizon. We were a kind of a regional newspaper when we started. We had an edition in Byrdstown, an edition in Salina, and we had what we called the regional paper, which we put a section in both of those. It didn't really work out as far as staying in Byrdstown, so we moved exclusively here to Salina and Clay County. Kevin helped us get that started, and so anyway, I just wanted everyone to know that's where my involvement came from. It was a family affair, and sitting next to one of my mentors, along with my Uncle Don, to help me get this thing started.
Oh, okay. Now, I know we were talking about the sports thing. A number of years ago when I was coaching, the Nashville, Tennessee and the Nashville Banner were both in business, morning and afternoon papers, and they did a great job of covering all over Middle Tennessee with sports things. I know that one of the perks that my scorekeeper had, which was usually one of our very trustworthy students, and I remember one that comes to mind right off right hand, that was Andrea Roberts. They actually, they would call in the scores after each basketball game, and they received a $6 check from the newspaper, a monthly check for each one of those they called in, which was a very neat thing. But, you know, in those days, you'd call all those in, and they'd have a big long list of the box scores from all over the state of Tennessee.
And that's another casualty of this change in media. You can't find that anywhere.
Major.
There's no box scores. You know, Saturday morning we used to go pick up a Tennessean to see all the football box scores and things of that nature. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the Delhalla Horizon local coverage is so important.
And I know, and there, if you know, I think, well, I guess they probably put all five starters down that she would turn in, and the leading scorer, and you know, with their scores and things, the leading scorer got his full name put in there. The others would just be a last name. I don't know if you guys had ever noticed that or not, but if you were the leading scorer that night, you got your full name. But now we've got a thing, you know, where we call in and the online Tennessee, it comes up with the top performers from the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe to see some of those, you got to subscribe to the online paper. And that's one of the things that a lot of the so-called social media news site that you have, you know, you'll be going through something, and it'll come up that such and such thing happened in Salina, which, you know, a flashing news story. Well, it'll let you read the headline, but if you want to read the story, you got to download their app. And when you download their app, you're fixing to get your computer filled up with ads from all over the world.
Right.
I mean, there's a real bad downside to that thing.
And Thomas, you hit a key word there that is the driving force behind the fact that we don't have the Tennessean or the Herald Citizen. Of course, the Banner, unfortunately, went out of business years ago. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. Advertising revenue has dropped to the point that bigger newspapers have had to cut staff members. So they don't have folks to sit there on a Friday night and take all those scores in, or to go out and cover a game, or come from Cookeville and cover a game between us and Pickett County or whatever. You know,
and
it's all about money.
And that trickles down to our local level.
Absolutely.
I looked back at some of your old editions and looked at the pub box, and you had a staff of, you know, I don't know, 6 to 8 people.
Well,
at times,
yeah.
You know, we're a one-man show.
Had a
1 or 2-man show.
Yeah, had a position for someone just to set type.
Right.
It wasn't a full-time position, about a half-time, but somebody who did nothing but that. We had another person who did nothing but put together grocery ads. That's been a huge change. When grocery stores figured out they could do direct mail and not advertise in newspapers, it changed the newspaper business in small towns in a monumental way.
And Thomas, one of the things I think is that kind of you operate, I know a lot of it based on the PSN, public service messages, that there are certain requirements, and I think that even applies to small radio stations like us, where everyone from the federal government down to state government, they have certain ads that have to be published.
Mm-hmm.
in certain places. And I know that's a help to you, and I know that announcements from the county and things like that provide quite, you know.
Yeah, we call it legal advertising in the newspaper, and it is a big deal. And that's another thing that the Tennessee Press Association has been trying to make sure that newspapers get to keep, because they have made a push to take those online also.
And one of those that I kind of like reading every once in a while, that when we have one of these sale where they have to sell land. Mm-hmm. For a bankruptcy or something, it still says that this land will be auctioned at the south side of the Clay County Courthouse, mm-hmm. which means occasionally they have to be auctioned off out here at the courthouse. And I did notice one day that it was actually, no one showed up, it was online, and the guy had his table sitting on the south side of the courthouse. He following the law just exactly like it said it was. With that, guys, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk some sports. We'll be right back.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, guys, Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, and it does say Clay County, which includes everything within our borders, and, of course, a lot of things happen outside of our borders that affect membership in this, but right off the bat, I guess, a little history of the Hall of Fame.
Well, this is our, this year we'll be having a double induction ceremony, actually tomorrow. At halftime of the girls' game with Clark Range. So our 11th and 12th class is what this is. So that dates it back to 2010, I think, when it was established. And that was done by you, Bobby Westmoreland, Uncle Don Napier, Kevin. A lot of you guys came up with this idea, so you can probably tell us a little more about the development of it than I can. And then after you did that, you guys ran it for a few years and somehow saddled Daniel and I, Daniel Strong, and Kevin.
I think Daniel's under the weather, isn't he, right?
He is, or he'd be here with us today. So anyway, it's kind of been passed down through the generations, and now we're kind of in charge of taking care of all the nuts and bolts of it. But the biggest thing about the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame that people may not understand, it's all dependent upon the public. It starts with a nomination from any member of the public. So anybody out there, if you know someone you think is deserving of Clay County Sports Hall of Fame induction, nominate them. And that's easy to do.
That's something there, Thomas, and let everyone know. You don't have to have a particular form with a heading on it or anything. And I know there's a time of the year when you emphasize, you know, get those in, but if you're sitting around any time, it doesn't matter, any time during the year, at any time, and you get to thinking about someone that you think deserves it, find out their statistics and get it, write it down, and Yeah, or get online, and I know the newspaper has a email address, and email that to the folks there, no matter when it is, and they will store it away, and when it comes time to...
Nominations are accepted year-round, just like you said. We have a deadline set for each class, which usually comes around the middle or beginning of December, and then voting occurs from the current members, which I think there's over 100 at this time. During the last couple of weeks of December, voting closes somewhere around the first of the year, and the class is announced in the beginning of January normally. So a lot of legends here already, but, you know, we're over 100 deep in the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame, and still there's a lot of people out there that are well-deserving of recognition. And that goes with these two classes we're going to induct tomorrow night. Again, I'm not sure if I got it out a while ago. We didn't get to do an induction ceremony last year because of the pandemic. So we'll be inducting the class of 2020 from last year, which includes five members, and then the class of 2021, which includes four members. So a total of nine new members coming tomorrow night, Kevin.
Yeah. And another great two classes here. I look back on it, and with our inductees, two of the guys from 2020 I played with. I was a year ahead of them in school. Thomas coached both those guys in basketball, and I was looking at all nine. Well, there's two I played with. There's one who played with my daughter that I also saw play in college. There's another guy I covered. There's another guy I got to meet and cover his teams. There's a guy covered at two schools. Ethan Birdwell played high school ball both at Harmony Springs and Clay County High School, and I covered him at both places. One of my daughter's former coaches and one of my relatives. There's only one person out of the eight that I didn't see play a lot or have some connection, and I was out of the newspaper business during his career.
Before we go through this list, let me read the birthdays off. We can come back, and we won't have to worry about another ad or interrupting. But right now, celebrating birthdays this past week, and Thomas might be familiar with this first one here. Betsy Holton celebrated a birthday this week. Mr. James Hamilton celebrating a birthday this week. Miss Freda Smith Garrett, one of my former students, Mr. Johnny Smith, I believe, and also Mr. Tommy Denton out in the Pine Hill area. Hilda Brown celebrating her birthday this past week, and Miss Kathy Merritt. So that's our list of birthdays for today, and here in a few minutes we'll come up with a system. We might just call out a number here. I can randomly number these, and I'll ask one of these guys to give me a number between 1 and 6, guys. Six now, if I ask you that. And we'll be giving away one of those gift envelopes over at the Chamber, compliments of WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. Like I said, and we are live and living color again this morning on your radio dial, and we appreciate everyone being here. And while we're on break, you can go back and maybe fix you a ham and egg sandwich or a second cup of coffee or something if you're sitting at home. And I guess a lot of folks are this morning, no school. So we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. A physical, occupational, and speech therapist. They serve patients multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Realize they weren't. Well, welcome back, everyone. Sometimes we'll get caught by surprise, but usually we don't have to bleep anything here when we get caught by surprise coming back. Well, guys, I guess we want to, I guess, talk about our athletes. We've got how many of them this year?
Nine total.
Got nine total.
Starts with the class that would have been inducted last year, the class of 2020. We'll just go through and discuss them a little bit, I guess, if you want to, guys.
Big Gary.
Leading vote getter in 2020, Johnny Boger McLaren. Of course, he was an athlete and a coach. He started in 1973 at Salina High School playing ball, where he played both basketball and football for the Bulldogs, and also had a successful coaching career at the elementary, junior high, and high school levels. He starred on the gridiron and the hardwood. Just like I said, he was a great receiver, had 750 yards in 1976, was currently ranked third all-time for a season. He was a starting point guard for multiple seasons in basketball for you, Coach Watson. And then a great coach that had a lot of influence on local folks, including myself. I remember when Johnny was a coach down at the elementary and junior high level, and then, of course, ended up being the Jackson County High School football coach over there for the hated Blue Devils, as we like to say, whenever I played. So a great athlete, great coach. Johnny Boger McLaren had a major impact on Clay County sports.
Okay, now can I go there and add a little bit on that?
Of course.
In the district tournament that your Johnny was, he was my number six man. He was in training to be the point guard for the next year, because we had, you know, basically a bunch of seniors on this team. I guess there was, three and sometimes four of them. And on the in the finals of the district tournament, I had my last sub up, and I'd kind of waited around, and Bill Napier was going to be the last man that I substituted for that night. You know, sometimes you kind of pick someone else, let them be last. Well, he got a breakaway for a layup, a wide-open layup, comes down, made the shot, and I think he made the shot, and then landed bad on his knee and blew out his knee on the final play that he was going to be in the ball game. Well, that caused me as the coach to have to kind of reconstruct the team, because I know most of the time then Gary Strong was our point guard, but Johnny had to come in. He came in at the beginning of the regional tournament at point guard as a substitute and led us to victory in the regional tournament. And we had to kind of shift folks around. And he then became the floor leader in basketball for the next 2 years when he did start as that. And he also came back his senior year, and those guys won a, and I know Thomas will like this, won the district tournament that year as an underdog, with Champ Smith hitting a last-second jumper off the corner of the foul line down at Jackson County High School, where the tournament was held, to beat the number one seed, Jackson County.
Yeah.
So now you can go ahead now, Thomas.
Johnny McLaren, just a great athlete, did a lot of stuff after high school, too, tennis, softball, motocross, golf. He kind of done it all, Kevin. And I'll let you take the next one.
Well, if I can add something about Johnny, too, golf, Johnny and I and Don, who is Napier, who we've already mentioned, and we'd pick up a fourth, had a pretty successful scramble golf team once upon a time. We all had an individual set of skills, and we even got Tom Deaton, Tech's old basketball coach, to play with us one time and went to Tompkinsville and fared very well in a tournament. But Johnny just falls in the category of one of these guys. If it was a ball, he could play it, you know.
And you mentioned the name there, Coach Deaton. Coach Deaton, the coach at Tennessee Tech, was a great friend of Salina High School athletics through the years.
Absolutely. Yeah, the next one in the class of 2020, as Thomas mentioned, is my brother-in-law, Gary Plumley, another one that I played high school ball with, and both football and basketball, a little more basketball because I played a little more basketball, and Thomas Watson was our coach. Gary had a great high school career and was a starter for at least 3 years. Was he was the first man off the bench as a freshman,
yes.
Probably, wasn't he, Thomas?
Yes.
Gary was a good scorer, but I just remember Gary being a tremendous rebounder, too. I know those numbers are not available, but he would be in the top five probably, wouldn't he, at least?
Absolutely. And like I said, he started as a sophomore in a kind of a secondary role, but then that next year and the year after that, he became kind of the anchor of the team. You know, he's one of those guys, as a coach, you look up and say, you know, who's going to be our leader after this leader is gone? And he was that guy, and he fit that role very, very well.
And another thing I remember back, he continued to play in pickup games around here till he was in his 40s.
Wow.
And finally blew that knee out, and he still was good.
Right. In pickup games, right. I played against
there him. You go.
Gary,
yeah.
And
yeah.
He's still a horse.
Absolutely. And Gary was a dunker. You know, at a time when you couldn't dunk in high school, but he was certainly capable and a really good football player, too, as it mentions in the thing here. Saved his best for last, I guess, the last game he ever played in the Lions Bowl against Lipscomb. Had 15 tackles and 3 sacks. That's quite a performance. But Gary's a really good high school athlete and, again, carried that basketball on for another 25 years after that, I guess.
Third member of this class, Brittany Walker Huckabee, of course, played for legendary coach Joe Sims, one of the best post players he ever had during his time, and also played softball from 99 to 2002. And then she also played at the next level, played basketball at Rome State Community College and Maryville College. She scored almost 1,000 points in her career, pulled down over 500 rebounds, and helped coach Sims, of course, win district titles, regions, and sub-states, but finished in the finals for the state tournament 2001, and they were the state runner-up in 2002. A lot of honors during her career, too. Kevin, I know you know and have watched her play.
Yeah, and not as a newspaper guy, but I saw Brittany all the way back to Pee-wee ball out here K-8 and saw her through. She was a teammate of my daughter's, so their careers were almost concurrent. She's a year older than Deanna. I saw Brittany play as much ball as anybody, I guess, outside my daughter, and then saw her play at Rome State, where she went a year ahead we had 4 girls from old Salina High School. We had five girls at one time on the team at Rome State, and she had the opportunity after she played JUCO ball to go on and play some more, and did. I know she played 1 year, not sure she played 2. So Brittany started probably when she is 5 years old and played till she is 21 or something like that. She had a long career, and she was a good post player. She really was. Got a lot of rebounds.
Moving along, one of the greatest Bulldog linemen of all time, Jeff Brown, who played from 1987 to 1990 on some of those great black and gold football teams for head coach Russell Richardson. You know, he's considered maybe the best of all time in his position. He paved the way the line of scrimmage for multiple Hall of Fame running backs and receivers. And he also is second all-time with 90 tackles in a single season for a defensive lineman behind Hall of Famer James Bartlett. During his senior year, he's anchor of a defense who allowed a mere 5.2 points per game And of course, he was an All-State honorable mention his senior year and received multiple All-District team awards. Jeff Brown was just, you talk about some of those guys that, that brings fear to you. He was one of those that you didn't want to meet in a dark alley.
Hey, Jeff was an outstanding lineman. What jumped out at me, and I didn't realize this until I saw his nominating form, 90 stops for a defensive lineman is unreal. Defensive linemen are not supposed to make that many tackles.
That's right.
Linebackers are supposed to make that many tackles, but that's remarkable, and he's one of two linemen. We'll be talking about another one here in a little bit, but good to see Jeff in there. He was a mountain of a guy physically and just a mountain of a player.
Okay, it would have been hard for a defensive back playing right behind him to set very many records, wouldn't it?
Right.
They didn't get to them.
That's exactly right.
Very agile, too, for his size. Fleet of foot, which
definitely
makes for a great lineman.
Well, to think that he played on the defense, which gave up, let's just say 50 points in a whole year, and five shutouts. That's mind-boggling.
And then our last member of the class of 2020, Mr. Bob Proffitt, spent over 30 years at Harmony Springs as a dedicated educator, mentor, and friend from 1976 to 2009. He was a coach down there. One of those guys that was kind of behind the scenes most of the time. Mr. Bob didn't want the spotlight, even though he did serve as a head coach at multiple sports and different times for Harmony Springs. And he also established the baseball program down there and coached it for quite some time.
Yes,
coach
yes.
Watson, I know he's probably kind of a colleague of yours at some point.
Yes, I know. Bob and I, of course, we've remained friends over the years. And, of course, one of the things that with him, got to spend quite a few summers with Bob traveling back and forth up to up to Cave Cove, where we went with Mr. Roy Henson to do antique toy demonstrations. But we had a lot of good conversation. Just a great guy. And he was the guy that, for some reason or other there was a shortage in coaches at Hermitage Springs, the director, superintendent, principal would say, Mr. Bob, can you do this next year? He'd say, I think I can do it, guys. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy he was. He was a guy that thought he could do it, and he would fill in wherever he was needed.
I remember Bob kind of helped break me into the sports, covering high school sports scene. He was the girls' basketball coach and the baseball coach for a while, and he certainly helped break me in on baseball coverage for high school. Bob was he did that for a long time, and I just remember Bob as being just a good guy. He's always low key and even keeled, and he's not getting in the hall for that, but quite a bass fisherman, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think absolutely.
Right.
Glad to see Mr. Bob get in there.
And the first four we mentioned, of course, were out of the athletes and coaches division. Mr. Bob getting in as a contributor. We also have the heritage classification, which we'll get into on the class of 2021. Do we want to jump right into it?
Well, I guess we could take a couple of minutes and come back. We'll finish up, and we'll try the time frame. We'll be right back.
Identity is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We're getting ready to go through our nominees for this year. But before we do that, there's something I want to throw out here as the former coach here. I started this job as a fairly young man and was still playing quite a bit of basketball myself then, playing independent ball, things like that. But one of the things that I want to mention that helped make our basketball teams the time that I was coaching here was, and they were talking about these pickup basketball. The gymnasium at Salina High School was open every Sunday afternoon and every Wednesday evening a month or so before the season started. And each one of those days, our former players from the year before would be there playing half-court basketball against our current players, teaching, talking to them, mentoring all of those players, and they did a whole lot of coaching, a whole lot of teaching, because they weren't out there just to beat up on the youngsters. They were there to contribute to the program here, and that was one of the greatest contributions that we've ever had, is the fact that every year we had an all-star team coming back to compete again before the season started, summers or whatever. Those pickup games involved some of the soon-to-be greatest ball players we had against the ones that were just finished their careers. And that was a major, major factor in the great basketball teams we had in those days.
No doubt.
Recent battles. We'll start with the class of 2021. Four members here in this one, one near and dear to my heart, my teammate and classmate, lineman Dan Fox. He played from 1991 to 1994. And he became the all-time leading tackler for his position while playing offense and defensive line and helping his team reach playoff all 4 years of his career. He's one of the best Bulldog linemen of his era. He amassed 213 total tackles, which not only ranks first for a defensive lineman, but also ninth all-time for any position. And he also helped pave the way for his classmate and my classmate, Hall of Fame tailback Gary Davis, become the school's all-time leading rusher. Kevin Dan was just one of those guys that, on each team you got three or four that really cares more about it than maybe the rest of them. Or if Dan missed a block, he was the first one back in my face to say, man, I'm sorry about that.
Right.
He just cared about the game and cared about the people around him and just had a great passion and tenacity, and it shows in those statistics.
Well, I'll say about Dan what we said earlier about Jeff. 213 tackles as a lineman for a career, and I don't know how much he played when he was a freshman. In those days, freshmen didn't play a lot, so he got that over 3 years. He was averaging 7 tackles a game for 3 years as a DL, and that just does not happen much. And as you mentioned, let's face it, Gary Davis came along and shattered Jimmy Hull's records, and as great as Gary was, it took some blocking up front to help make that possible, and Dan was a big part of that.
Well, Dan was the right tackle, and
most teams are right-handed. Yeah,
pretty much 90% of the time. Here's an interesting one, I think. Probably maybe the only player ever to play 5 years of basketball at the high school level, and that's athlete Ethan Burgle, played from 2003 to 2008, began his career in eighth grade at Hermitage Springs High School and then finished it up as a senior in 2008 at Clay County High School after consolidation. For which games stats are available, we have him for 1,446 career points. I'm sure he scored quite a bit more than that. He was a prolific scorer, racked up a lot of honors throughout his career, all conference most of the time. And Coach Edwards, of course, nominated Ethan Burgle. And that goes to say a whole lot when you got your head coach of just 1 year nominating Ethan Burgle.
A very, very brave young athlete, because this was a high-tension time here in Clay County with the consolidation. And there's no doubt that he helped smooth that probably more than anyone, because he gave the folks from down in the Hermit Springs area a reason to come to Clay County Gym and to cheer for one of their own. And that was a very, very important fact in the consolidation of school system here in Clay County.
Ethan was one of those guys who, I just remember him being smooth, you know, and he made the all Upper Cumberland team, which includes all classifications, in his junior year at Harmony Springs and then in his senior year at Clay County High School. And of course, he had that extra year. And I know of at least one more athlete that actually did that five-year thing, and he's in the Hall of Fame, Randy Carnahan.
Okay.
Randy played 5 years of basketball and baseball, if I'm not mistaken. He was a really, really good. So there's at least a couple of guys, but and the reason they could do that, and players can still do it, if the elementary school and the junior high is attached to the high school, you can do that. I'm saying that right, Thomas Watson?
Under the same principle.
Yes. You know, that situation doesn't exist much. You know, you've got separate junior highs now, so some of those guys, and there may be others, but those are the only two I know of, but Ethan was a really good basketball player. He sure was.
Moving on, we've got Coach Sharon Walker-Kimes. She started her career in coaching in 1987 when she became a teacher at at Hermitage Springs is where she started there. And then she's still coaching today. She spent over 30 years as a coach and educator in the Clay County school system and has been at all three schools, Hermitage Springs, Salina K-8, and Clay County High School as the head coach for the Lady Bulldogs for a couple years. And, you know, she's won multiple conference titles and multiple state invitational championships, which I think those teams are playing down there in Murfreesboro and here currently this month. And Sharon Kimes, maybe her biggest contribution, she coached a lot of those girls that came up and played. She coached them in junior high, the state championship team of 2012, and just really helped develop a lot of young athletes here in this county.
Well, it would be interesting, and I would have no worry if Sharon hasn't kept up with herself, nobody else has. If you add all of her wins together at all those levels, she'd have a lot. I know that, and had some really, really good junior high teams, and you know, the state invitational championships are the nearest thing to a state championship there is at that level. You know, you have multiple of those, but to win two of those during the course of a career that's a big deal.
Yes.
It really is.
And our last member to be inducted tomorrow night, it comes in our heritage category, and Kevin, you'll have to help me there. That dates back 50 years.
It's 50 years, and you know, when we started this, 50 years, 10, 12 years ago, the Hall of Fame, 50 years ago seemed like a long time, and now it's not near as long. 50 years goes back to the early 70s now, and you can be a heritage player if you played any time basically from 1971 back. So that heritage, it's rolling up on us all the time, the older we get.
Right. But it's Mr. Marshall Donaldson, the late Marshall Donaldson. He played basketball for Salina High School, excuse me, in the mid-1930s, and you know, there's no records existent for that time, but he was obviously an outstanding player due to the fact he signed a scholarship to play at David Lipscomb, where he led the Bison in scoring in 1936. And Coach Watson, I know you nominated Mr. Donaldson for this honor, and you went back and did some research in the Tennessean archives, and there's a lot of articles in there talking about how good Marshall Donaldson was,
you know,
on the hardwood.
He became principal of the high school my senior year in high school, and strict disciplinarian, and there were always rumors, you know, floating around about that barbershop talk that Mr. Donaldson played college basketball now, David Lipscomb. You know, it's some of the things you hear, but at the time you don't really, you know, it doesn't sink in. And also, you know, there was that rumor about he and Ms. Renault that were down at David Lipscomb about the same time. They were excellent, excellent clay court tennis players.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rumors was that they actually won one of the championships down there. But like I said, I went online and found quite a few old newspaper articles of him. He was, I think, maybe the MVP of the team one year, leading scorer. And I think maybe another year that he and one of his teammates had the exact same total of points,
right.
which is something kind of unusual. So they were co-leaders one year. But, you know, a couple of stories about Mr. Donaldson. He started teaching back up here. I don't know. He couldn't have been 20, 21 years old at the most, and started teaching out at one of the country schools. And this is the tale that he always told, and he'd been told that the reputation of the school was kind of rough, and there were some, there were some eighth graders there that were probably just as old or older than he was. And he said the first day of school, he picked out one of those young men, and he said, "I tackled him." He said, "We wrestled all over that schoolyard, but said, I finally pinned him." And he said, "I didn't have any more problems with discipline at that school." But, I mean, you know, that was his way of handling
it. Different time.
Okay, also, Mr. Donaldson, I know at least 2 years that he coached junior high basketball at Salina Junior High School with the class, I think, that included Ann Donaldson and those girls. And, of course, Mr. Donaldson had one major fault when he was coaching. You could always tell when he was upset at his girl players. And by his entire head would turn red. Well, when Coach Donaldson's head turned red, the opposing coach, it's time for a timeout. Because they knew he was going to dress somebody down. But he was, like I said, a very, very unique person, taught shop classes. And I've got to throw out one story on shop with him. They were building a house down at Riverside, and someone down there fired a bunch of firecrackers off. Well, of course, nobody would confess and own up to it. So his punishment was, until someone confesses, he lined up all the boys in the class out on the side of the street and made them stand in attention when they weren't actually doing work on the house. So this went on for a couple of weeks, and finally the boys took up money to offer someone who would volunteer to confess. Best I remember, the name that confessed was Tony Netherton, and he confessed to Mr. Donaldson, and of course he used one of the building planks to address that problem. And I think he got $5, and his entire life said he had earned quite a bit of money, but none more hard earned than that $5. But I mean, I thought that's kind of a neat story. Mr. Boss, as they all called him in those days.
Right.
And we have a building out there, one of the older buildings named in his honor, that money from the houses he built actually built the old ag shop out there. Yes.
Well, and as we mentioned earlier about Mr. Prophet, Marshall was a big fisherman too. Won a lot of fishing tournaments and contests in his day. So
now, I think that's the reason why the Tennessean and the Bounder dropped their fishing contest. They used to have an annual fishing contest, and they were always won by people from Salina. And I think they finally got tired of that. I know the Austin brothers, the Peeler brothers, Mr. Donaldson, just so many of those folks, that they won every year. But guys, we're getting time to wrap it up.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
It's been a pleasure. And let's see. Kevin, you give me a two-digit number, and we'll, let's see. And then you add a two-digit number.
Well, let's say 12.
I knew that was coming. Okay, now, Thomas, give me a number between 1 and 6. 5. Number 5, Hilda Brown.
Congratulations, Hilda.
And Hilda, you go over to the chamber office, and they'll give you a prize there, and you can use that prize as you see fit. And we'll remind everyone, we'll be back here again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And as soon as we can get it pulled down out of the cloud, it'll be on the Del Hall Horizon website. And with that, I guess, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here on your radio dial, WVFB, FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And may the good Lord bless and keep you till then. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.